Happy Friday. It's Friday, guys. We close another week here on the Goose. Thank you all for listening, jumping on, hearing my BS for the next 30, 40 minutes. And a little housekeeping, of course, if you have not found it in your heart to subscribe, please do so. I would love to have you on board for the home stretch, the long fight or whatever you want to say it. And I would also love it if you guys would write one of them reviews on Apple. That's a little five. Give me 4 stars. Give me 5 stars. Whatever you feel I'm worth. Kind of like a waiter, you know, at the restaurant. Tip me whatever you think I'm worth. Tell me how I am, good or bad. I appreciate all forms of criticism and praise. And I take all followers, all subscriptions, all walks of life, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, the average Joe who just wants to hear something different or stupid or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what your motivations are, but I just have just that request. We're going to get into this. This is a clip from Jimmy Kimmel. Bill Burr has surfaced. His tour is probably over at this point. His promotion for his stand-up special is floating around now, so he's on Jimmy Kimmel. And apparently he's got something to say about the wildfires raging in Southern California, and it's, you know, what you would expect from Bill Burr.
Very good to see you. I heard you had to evacuate your home.
Yes. Like most people, I had to. I got lucky, you know, the winds moved, but, you know, the fire was coming and all that stuff. So I feel lucky.
Are you guys back?
And I think everybody did a great job.
Yeah.
Unlike the internet, you know?
Yeah, right. I know. It's right.
Oh, my God. All of these fire experts. Why didn't you just fly a helicopter into the ocean? And then just... I don't know, because there was 100 knot winds. You want to do that? You want to do that at night, you lunatic?
How are you?
This was definitely mismanaged.
That's a big word we're hearing now.
Mismanaged, like some idiot on the internet knows how to manage the worst fire in LA sitting there in his underwear. You know what? Looking at the footage on the internet, I have determined that this here was mismanaged.
Well, if it is the best job ever, Bill, I know you're trying to be funny. I know your job is to get the laugh. That's who you are. And I do rank you as one of the top comedians in today's game. But if the premise of this joke is they are amazing at their job, I would hate to see what a bad job looks like. If you think that 12,000 structures being destroyed, 25 people dying, 40,000 acres burned is an amazing job by your leadership in Southern California. I can only imagine what a bad job would be. Like zombie apocalyptic shit would probably be worse than this. You're getting a lot of this from left leaning people. They're just, I don't know how they're spinning it, however they want to spin it. And, It is something. Here's something interesting. And this has been going on for a while. Candace Owens has been calling French President Emmanuel Macron's wife a man for a better part of a year and a half. And this could have been also one of the reasons she was released from the Daily Wire. More than likely, it had a lot to do with And I don't want to say it's anti-Semitic. It's more of the anti-Jewish position she was taking during this whole Hamas war. But this probably doesn't help either. And they parted ways. It is what it is, right? You believe the way you believe. Your boss doesn't believe in what you believe, and they have every right to employ you or not employ you, however you want to say it. So This is interesting. Emmanuel Macron is going to sue Candace Owens, obviously in European court, over these comments, because in Europe, you can do this. It'd be interesting to see how this plays out, how she will defend herself, and how this whole thing ends. I'm wondering how much of this is going to affect her career. We'll see how that goes. We'll stare at it for a while, for sure. the CNN has completed a poll of the job approval of Joe Biden. And I got to say, it's not good. The final poll from CNN on Joe Biden's presidency, he has a disapproval of 64%. And the approval ratings before leaving office ranked over the last few years. Bill Clinton at 66%, Reagan at 63%, Obama left at 60%, Eisenhower at 59%, 56% for Bush. First Bush number one, by the way. Ford got 53%, Lyndon Baines Johnson, little LBJ at 49%. Joe Biden leaves with a 36% approval rating. Jimmy Carter runs in at 34%. Donald Trump was at 34% in 2021. Harry Truman, 32%. George Bush, the son, 31%. And Nixon with all the scandal at 24%. So for everybody that said that this guy is the best president ever, and the most consequential president ever, and all the job gains and the lowering of inflation and all of these $6.5 to $7 trillion worth of spending saved America, and yet 36% think he's awesome. I don't know how this dude got 81 million votes if he is this bad. I mean, 64% hate this guy? That's a high number. That is really a high number. And he didn't have any medical stuff, no pandemic, no anything. But hey, what are you going to do, right? It is what it is, as they say. Here's something that I think is interesting. This is off of Donald Trump's Truth Social. All right, I'm gonna read this bad boy, and we're gonna see where it goes. Far, far too long, we have relied on taxing our great people using the IRS. Through soft and pathetically weak trade agreements, the American economy has delivered growth and prosperity to the world while taxing ourselves. It is time to change that. I am today announcing a creation of the External Revenue Service to collect our tariffs, duties, and all revenues that come from foreign sources. We will begin charging those that make money off of us with trade, and they will start paying, finally, their fair share. January 20th, 2025 will be the birth date of the External Revenue Service, the ERS. Make America Great Again. All right. Donald Trump has talked about deregulation, getting rid of the bureaucracy, et cetera, et cetera. He's got Cash Patel coming in there. He's got Pam Bondi, Pete Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard. They're all supposed to clean the place up with a chainsaw. And yet, he is creating organizations. The External Revenue Service, the Department of Government Efficiency, you're eliminating bureaucracy and creating bureaucracy. Very troubling from Donald Trump and this Republican administration. Let's see. I know he talks out of his ass a lot. I know a lot of what he says doesn't hold very much weight in any global stage or what have you. But this is something you just, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Congressman Brandon Gill says the thing that everybody wants to say, and I got to hand it to him. Very, very good move here. Here we go.
I also find it rich that all of the sudden the other side has some problem with successful businessmen being involved in politics whenever you guys are the party of George Soros, of Bill and Melinda Gates, of Sheryl Sandberg, of Mackenzie Bezos, of Taylor Swift, of so many other billionaires across the country, as well as every woke, weird pervert in Hollywood.
You go get them, Brandon. Go get them, buddy. Appreciate you. A little backslap for Brandon. And, you know, if you know it, give Congressman Brandon Gill a hug. He said what is true. These guys are all about the oligarchy, the billionaires, the Bernie Sanders bullshit, right? But yet they have no problem with George Soros, Bill Gates, Sheryl Sandberg, Mackenzie Bezos. It's actually hilarious, actually. Like, the hypocritical nature of the Democratic Party doesn't have limits. And here is something that I want to get into. It is also another confirmation hearing exchange. Pete Hegseth. Let's take a moment here to. And let me just take a moment here on this. Excuse me. I didn't know squat about Pete Hegseth outside of his, you know, appearances on Fox News. I didn't know the dude was as old as I am. We're both 44 years old. I didn't know that he served in the military. I didn't know that he did two stints, a bunch of tours, got a couple of medals. I didn't know that he led platoons and things. I didn't know anything about the guy until the background of him became available and you started reading on it. But that doesn't seem to be the thing that the Democratic Party focused on. And it was very shocking what they actually went after. What they went after was his personal life. And none of it made any sense to me. But we're going to start off with the what I thought was interesting was Mazie Hirono, once again, has dumb stuff to say. Let's just get in.
Is, would you use our military to take over Greenland or an ally of Denmark?
Senator, one of the things that President Trump is so good at is never strategically tipping his hand. And so I would never in this public forum give one way or another the president would give me in any context.
That sounds to me that you would contemplate carrying out such an order to basically invade Greenland.
This fucking bitch, I swear to God. She sits there and gives him a hypothetical. You heard what he said. And she just automatically goes, oh, well, that means you're going to do it. No, it doesn't. That means that he is not going to comment on something that has not even happened or will happen. You don't fucking know, Mazie. You've got to be a dumbass. You are a dumbass. There's no other way around it. And here's Tammy Duckworth, another ridiculous senator. What she says here is absolutely disgusting. Just give it a listen.
Women who've earned their place in their units, you have not earned your place as Secretary of Defense. You say you care about keeping our armed forces strong and that you like that our armed forces is a meritocracy. Then let's not lower the standards for you. You, sir, are a no-go at this station.
She said that you have not earned your place as Secretary of Defense. You want to keep your forces strong, then let's not lower the standards for you. I'm sorry, Tammy. What have you done in the Senate that even compares to what he has done militarily? Other than sit there and talk out of your fucking ass? Like, come on, man. I mean, here's another one. This is an independent from Maine, Angus King. And I'm going to play a little bit of this because this exchange is about torture, and it's about other types of arts of war and what have you. And I think this is an interesting exchange.
That the way we fought our wars back when the Geneva Conventions were written are a lot different than the asymmetric, non-conventional environment of counterinsurgency that I confronted in Iraq and Afghanistan. I was the senior counterinsurgency instructor in Afghanistan. My job was to understand how the Taliban and Al-Qaeda operated so that NATO units coming in could be informed of what was happening. They knew our rules of engagement, and when they were more restrictive, they took advantage of them, and it put our men and women in a more dangerous and difficult place.
And you believe
for
that
future wars we fight, we need to have someone atop the Pentagon, sir, who understands how those ripple effects
impact. I just want to understand your position. Your position is torture is okay. Is that correct? Waterboarding torture is no longer prohibited given the circumstances of whatever war we're in. Is that correct?
Senator, that is not what I said. I've never been party to torture. We are a country that fights by the rule of law, and our men and women always do. And yet we have too many people here in air-conditioned offices that like to point fingers at the guys in dark and dangerous places, the gals in helicopters in enemy territory who are doing things that people in Washington, D.C. would never dare to do or send in many cases.
In one of your interviews, you said they're willing to do this. You're talking about Donald Trump.
Oh, he should have kept going. I swear to God, he stopped him. Pete stopped himself, but he should have kept going because it is true. Every single one of those people in that room, in those air conditioned offices, are not sending their kids. They're not sending their loved ones. They're sending everybody else's. So they don't have the connection or the understanding. And for someone in Pete's shoes that has actually been on the ground and seen it, I believe he has a better understanding than Angus King of what goes on in war or what goes on in the military in general.
Trump and Senator Cruz, they're willing to do something like waterboarding if it's going to keep us safe. Are you okay with waterboarding?
Senator, the law of the land is that waterboarding is not legal.
So the statement that you made, you now recant. Is that correct? They are willing to do something like waterboarding if it's going to keep us safe. You expressed that with approval.
Senator, I'm very familiar with that as a concept, having spent a year at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, guarding 700 of those that attacked us on 9/11.
I just want to be clear. Are we going to abide by the Geneva Convention and the prohibitions on torture, or are we not? Is it going to depend on the circumstances?
As I've stated multiple times, the Geneva Conventions are what we base ours. But what an America First national security policy is not going to do is hand its prerogatives over to international bodies that make decisions about how our men and women make decisions on the battlefield. America First understands we send Americans for a clear mission and a clear objective. We equip them properly for that objective.
All right,
we give them everything they need, and then we stand behind them.
So Angus King getting fucking educated on things that he clearly doesn't know anything about. But let's also recognize something here. And this is Richard Blumenthal, Senator Blumenthal, talking about Pete. He talks about Pete Hegseth not being qualified. But there's a video that has come out, and it's a video that's been out for God forever. But here is something I think is interesting.
We have learned something very important since the days that I served in Vietnam, and you exemplify it. Whatever we think about the war, whatever we call it.
Blumenthal is claiming that he served in Vietnam. All right. This is interesting stuff, guys. It really is. This is from NPR, 2010. Senate candidate Richard Blumenthal said he had misspoken in claiming more than once that he served in Vietnam, disseming the Fuhrer that threatened to endanger a seemingly safe Democratic seat as a matter of a few misplaced words. The Connecticut Connecticut Attorney General served in the Marine Reserve during the Vietnam War, but he never left the United States, standing with other Marine Corps veterans at a news conference in West Hartford, Connecticut on Tuesday. Blumenthal said he was proud of his record and that he meant to say he served during Vietnam, not in Vietnam. All right, you know, potato, potato, tomato, tomato. This has been a thing that has been going on as well. Hegseth is getting grilled for qualifications. Then you got a guy who clearly is lying about his record, and he's on that hearing having that conversation with him. And I just think that's purely it's irritating. It's absolutely irritating. Let's get to the finish on this. And this is from Senator Tim Kaine. In his hearing, it's disgusting. Let's just be real here. This is absolutely disgusting. But before we do, I actually do want to play this clip from Duckworth, another Duckworth clip here. I guarantee you this bitch had to look this up, but she decided to ask him about the ASEAN and how many nations are in it. I didn't even know what this was, but it's basically similar to the North American trade agreements that we have. And there are countries in that area, Indonesia, Cambodia, things like that, that are involved in this type of trade agreement. And she asks him about it, and this is how it goes.
Not qualified to that. You could do acquisition and cross-servicing agreements, which essentially are security agreements. You can't even mention that. You've done none of those. You talked about the Indo-Pacific a little bit, and I'm glad that you mentioned it. Can you name the importance of at least one of the nations in the ASEAN, and what type of agreement we have with at least one of those nations? And how many nations are in ASEAN, by the way?
I couldn't tell you the exact amount of nations in that, but I know we have allies in South Korea and Japan and in AUKUS with Australia and trying to work on submarines with them.
Mr. Hegseth, none of those countries are in ASEAN. None of those three countries that you've mentioned are in ASEAN. I suggest you do a little homework before you prepare for these types of negotiations. Look.
I guarantee you this bitch looked it up before she came into the hearing to ask that question. And a lot of the women are really supercharged because of what he said in regards to women in combat. You can agree to disagree on that. I just think it's very interesting that a lot of them are attacking him for not knowing certain things about a job that he has never done. And if you're in any job interview that you're going for, you may have stuff on your resume that can put you in the room. But if you haven't done the job, you're going to have to go through job training or, you know, feet to the fire, however you want to say it. So that whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. anyway, let's talk about we got to do this. We got to do this clip. Pete Hegseth is also back to Mazie Hirono's insane abilities here. Once again, she's constantly seems drunk. Here we go.
Do you know that being drunk at work is prohibited for service members under the UCMJ?
Senator, those
yes
are
or no?
Multiple false anonymous reports peddled by NBC
Do
News
you know that,
that run directly
on the
contradictory
job
to the dozens of men and women at Fox News Channel who I work
hearing,
with
I'm
who
not
came
hearing
on
the
record
to my question.
And said they
In your
never
opening
seen
statement,
that.
Mr. Hegseth,
what a dumbass bitch. I swear, I don't know how they get elected. I don't fucking understand it. I just don't. But they're here. They are our people. They are our people. Let's get to the fun. Tim fucking Kaine. Unbelievably irritating son of a bitch. And this is 8 minutes long. We'll see how much of it we go for, but this is something that needs to be heard.
Thank you, Mr. Hegseth. I'm looking forward to this opportunity to talk. I want to return to the incident that you referenced a minute ago that occurred in Monterey, California in October 2017. At that time, you were still married to your second wife, correct?
I believe so.
And you had just fathered a child by a woman who would later become your third wife, correct?
Senator, I was falsely charged, investigated, and completely cleared.
So you think you are completely cleared because you committed no crime. That's your definition of cleared? You had just fathered a child.
What other definition is there, Tim? He said, I was falsely accused and or charged, and I was cleared of that. And then his response is, you think that's clearance being because you didn't do any criminal acts? What other word would you like him to use? Exonerated? Let's try the exonerated, Timmy. Let's do the exonerated. Let's try that. And this entire line of questioning that goes on here with Tim Kaine is disgusting, ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the job he's applying for. Because everybody has relationship issues, good or bad. Everybody has children. Everybody for the most part has gone through life, essentially. So I don't understand how this attempted a character assassination was helpful to anybody.
2 months before, by a woman that was not your wife, I am shocked that you would stand here and say you're completely cleared. Can you so casually cheat on a second wife and cheat on the mother of a child that had been born 2 months before, and you tell us you are completely cleared? Senator, how is that a complete clear?
Senator, her child's name is Gwendolyn Hope Hegseth, and she's a child of God, and she's 7 years old.
And she was, and you cheated on the mother of that child less than 2 months after that daughter was born, didn't you?
Those were false charges.
Well,
it was fully investigated, and I was completely cleared. And I am so grateful for the marriage I have to this amazing woman behind me.
You've admitted that you had sex at that hotel in October 2017. You said it was consensual. Isn't that correct?
Anything?
You've admitted that it was consensual, and you were still married, and you just had a child by another woman.
Again.
How do you explain your judgment?
Completely false charges against me.
Fully investigated, and I
was completely cleared.
You have admitted that you had sex while you were married to wife two after you just had fathered a child by wife three. You've admitted that. Now, if it had been a sexual assault, that would be disqualifying to be Secretary of Defense, wouldn't it?
It was a false claim then and a false claim now.
If it had been a sexual assault, that would be disqualifying to be Secretary of Defense, wouldn't it?
That was a false claim.
So
you're talking about a hypothetical.
So you can't tell me whether someone who has committed a sexual assault is disqualified from being Secretary of Defense?
Senator, I know in my instance, and I'm talking about my instance only, it was a false claim.
But you acknowledge that you cheated on your wife and that you cheated on the woman by whom you had just fathered a child. You have admitted that.
I will allow your words to speak for themselves.
You're not retracting that today. That's good. I assume that in each of your weddings, you've pledged to be faithful to your...
Like, what is this guy doing anything? What the fuck is this guy doing anything? I mean, we're talking about upholding oaths of office or like, I mean, it's a character assassination. So that is exactly what this is. And he's trying to catch him in a lie. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Again, this is my opinion. You guys can go ahead and comment down below what you think. This has nothing to do with anything. This is 8 minutes of just straight stupidity. What I'd love is when they answer the question, a lot of these guys sit there and go, oh, that was not the answer to my question. And then when he says I was cleared of those charges, he sits there and he goes, that's cleared in your mind, blah, blah, blah. It's like, again, would you like me to use exoneration? Cleared is not obviously a word you like. Like what? The answer you want is not an answer that exists. It's like a fishing expedition almost. And Tim Kaine's disgusting line of questioning should get him fucking smacked in the head at least once or twice.
Your wife, you've taken an oath to do that, haven't you?
Senator, as I've acknowledged to everyone in this committee, not a perfect person, not claiming to
be. But no, I just asked a simple question. You've taken an oath like you would take an oath to be Secretary of Defense and all of your weddings to be faithful to your wife. Is that correct?
I have failed in things in my life, and thankfully I'm redeemed by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
In finalizing divorces from your first and second wives, were there non-disclosure agreements in connection with those divorces?
Senator, not that I'm aware of.
If there were, would you agree to release those first and second wives from any confidentiality agreement?
Senator, it's not something I'm aware of.
But if there were, you would agree to release them from a confidentiality agreement?
Senator, that's not my responsibility.
Did you ever engage in any acts of physical violence against any of your wives?
Senator, absolutely not.
But you would agree with me.
What the fuck is that? I would love to have Hegseth go, bro, do you hit your wife? Have you smacked your kids? What about you? Is there anything we can do to alleviate your stupidity?
Me that if someone had committed physical violence against a spouse, that would be disqualifying to serve as Secretary of Defense, correct?
Senator, absolutely not have I ever done that.
You would agree that that would be a disqualifying offense, would you not?
Senator, you're talking about a hypothetical.
I don't think it's a hypothetical. Violence against spouses occurs every day. And if you as a leader are not...
Yes, Timmy, but the hypothetical is me hitting my wife, which has never happened. Timmy, what are you getting at? What would you like me to say? Would you like me to say... You know, it's like, come on, dude. Like, how fucking retarded are you, Tim Kaine? This is like the Democrats' entire shtick in any hearing is... Have you assaulted women? Are you a piece of shit? It's like, bro, what are you buying liquor out of Nancy Pelosi's office? Do you come drunk to hearings? Like, what is it with you?
Capable of saying that physical violence against a spouse should be a disqualifying fact for being secretary of the most powerful nation in the world, you're demonstrating an astonishing lack of judgment. The incident in Monterey led to a criminal charge, a criminal investigation, a private settlement, and a cash payment to the woman who filed the complaint. And there was also a non-disclosure agreement, correct?
It was a confidential settlement agreement off of a nuisance lawsuit.
Right. During an interview, you claimed that you settled the matter because you were worried that if it became public, it might hurt your career. Do you maintain that you were blackmailed?
Senator, I maintain that false claims were made against me. And ultimately,
your attorney
those false
the
claims,
frame,
I have the opportunity to attest my innocence in those false claims.
But you didn't reveal any of this to President Trump or the transition team as they were considering you to be nominated for Secretary of Defense. You didn't reveal the action. You didn't reveal the criminal complaint. You didn't reveal the criminal investigation. You didn't reveal the settlement. You didn't reveal the cash payment. Why didn't you inform the commander-in-chief and the transition team of this very relevant event?
Senator, I've appreciated every part of the process with the transition team. They have been open and honest with me. We've had great conversations between the two of us. And I appreciate the opportunity that President-elect Trump
has given
me.
But you chose not to reveal this, right? Because you knew it would hurt your chances. So you chose not to reveal this really important thing to the commander-in-chief and the transition team because you were worried about your chances rather than trying to be candid with the future president of the United States. Are there any other important facts that you chose not to?
Dude, this guy is just all over the place. He's a fucking... Again, shit that doesn't matter to the overall job. Well, anyway, that's Timmy Kaine. That's his horse shit. And this is from CNN.
Hearing from senators now that the Hegseth hearing is done.
The expectation that he will get confirmed. In fact, I just asked Senator John Thune, who's the Republican leader, the majority leader, decides the schedule of the United States Senate. I asked him about Hegseth's nomination. Thune has not said a ton about this nomination. I said, does he have any concerns about these allegations of sexual assault that Hegseth has denied but came up in today's hearing about these allegations of misconduct and the like? And he indicated he does not. According to Thune, he said that
that Hegseth acquitted himself extremely well and that he plans to move very quickly on this nomination. And it is moving quickly. We expect the Senate Armed Services Committee to have a vote as soon as Monday, Inauguration Day. That is according to the chairman of the committee, Roger Wicker, who told me that he believes that he'll get the support of all Republicans and be able to push this through.
So there you have it. Even with all the smearing, Hegseth is going to be your Secretary of Defense. I know I did yesterday. I did a whole deal on Pam Bondi. I expect her to get confirmed for Attorney General as well. Here's something that I found interesting. This is from a Twitter account named Decoding Fox News. Now, I'm going to play this because I feel the need to respond.
This is just incredible mismanagement, incredibly poor leadership. I would go so far as to say that it's criminally negligent because, I mean, Gavin Newsom has been either the governor for 5 years or lieutenant governor prior to that for 8-9 years. Some of the worst fires we've ever had in California under that watch. He clearly knows that the biggest problem that we suffer in California are these fires. And by the way, the mudslides that follow.
So that is the actor Zachary Levi. He was asked by Fox to come on and talk about the wildfires in Los Angeles, California. He said at the very beginning of the segment, "I'm talking to you today from Austin, Texas." And I thought that was odd, so I looked into it. And as far as I could tell, Zachary Levi sold his Studio City home in California in 2017 and moved to a large ranch in the Austin, Texas area. Here it is. Zachary Levi House, details on his Texas home, and more. And here's another source. Zachary Levi loves life in Austin as much as we do. I could not find any evidence that he moved back to California. Not one source. Now, this is Dean Cain. He also talked about the wildfires in California. He grew up in California. But he also famously left California for Las Vegas in 2023. Now, that is fairly recent. I'll give him some slack. Here's an article from Fox. Dean Cain raves about his life in Las Vegas after moving out of California. The third person was Tony Robbins. I guess you could call him an author, perhaps a motivational speaker. I know he uses different titles. He was on to talk about the wildfires in Los Angeles. Now, from what I could find, Tony Robbins left California in 2013 and currently lives in a very large home in Palm Beach, Florida. Now, he might, all three of these men might have a secondary home or an apartment in the Los Angeles area. They might have something in California. I don't know. I couldn't find any evidence of that. What they do share is they're all frequent guests on Fox News, and I could find evidence at least that Zachary Levi and Dean Cain were enthusiastic Trump supporters.
The only thing I can say to the only, well, this is what I want to say to this. Who gives a shit? All three of these people lived in California during wildfires while Gavin Newsom was a lieutenant governor or a governor at some point in their time in California. So when they are asked about California, they can give their thoughts on what they have seen and or what they know has happened while they lived there. That's not something that is out of bounds or negative or just out, just negative. It's not. It's none of that is. It's no different than calling someone who lives in California to talk about the politics of New York City. They might have some authoritativeness to it. This is a stupid post. It's pointless as all shit. It doesn't mean anything. It's like, what are you decoding? Who cares where they live? They used to live in California. They used to be a part of this disaster. They are well versed in the art of Gavin Newsom. They have every right to their opinion and to give their opinion on this bullshit. I just thought this was fucking retarded. Let me know what you think in the comments below. And that is going to end. This is going to end Friday on this note. There is an actor. His name is Digimon Hounsui. Hounsui. Boy, I can say his name. He has talked about being struggling financially. Now, this is a weird statement, but let's get after this one.
I'm still struggling trying to make a living.
After 30 years in this business,
I've been in this business and making films now over 2 decades, and still, you know, with 2 nomination, Oscar nominations, many big blockbuster films, and yet I have I'm still struggling financially to make a living. I'm definitely underpaid.
How has Hollywood changed in terms of African representation in what you see since you started out to what's being produced now?
I was nominated for a Golden Globe, but they ignored me for the Oscars, talking about the fact that they thought that I had just came off the boat and off the streets. Even though I successfully did that, they just didn't feel like I was an actor for whom we should pay any respect to. So conceptual idea of diversity, it still has a long way to go. Systemic racism don't change like that anytime soon.
Growing up, you're one of the first big black actors I saw in big budget films, so it's mind-boggling to me.
Well, that's a sign for you that systemic racism is not something that you can deal with lightly. You have to cope with it.
I'm very confused about this, like what he means by struggling financially. He, depending on what you read out there, he is worth net worth, again, depending on what you read, what you believe, his net worth is anywhere between $4 million to $35 million. He has done many films, from Blood Diamond to Rebel Moon to other big films, but he's always been a supporting actor. He's never been the main guy in the films. So I can understand the underpaid part, because the average salary paid out to supporting actors is anywhere between $1,000 to $3,000 for the day or that week or however it shakes out in their union contracts. But I also know that the more notoriety that you give as a supporting actor, you can set your prices. And that part I do know. And I know this is not a comparison, but Paul Giamatti has been a well-known supporting actor with very few lead roles over the course of his career. And he has said many times that he comes cheap. He charges $900,000 a film. So if this guy can somehow make $900,000 for the film that he's in, how is this guy not making at least that per film? And if his net worth is truly as high as $35 million, and he is able to, as he has done, purchase a $3 million home in Los Angeles, rent it out for $12,000 a month as an asset, a real estate investment, I don't know what he means by struggling financially. The only conclusion that I have is that he lives way beyond his means, that he has certain tastes that go far beyond what he is bringing in, that he loves to do things that he can't afford to do. And this is one of the major problems that exist with everybody in life, just in general. They all complain about how life sucks, money isn't there, can't do all, you know, all these types of things. But yet they say it while sitting in a Lexus or sitting in a $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 car, or they're talking into an iPhone, or, you know, just a bunch of things that indicate that they are spending money on things that they can't afford to sustain themselves with. And that is probably what's happening to him is he is a not a very good money manager. And with that, kids, we're going to close it out on a Friday. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate each and every one of you. Like it, share it, subscribe to it, and I'll see you on Monday. Later. I want to break your soul in two.